Hi everyone, my name is Annie Fehrenbacher, and Wayne asked me to say something personal about myself, so I'll let you know that I am a Zamboni driver. And if anyone doesn't know what that is, it's the thing that resurfaces the ice at an ice arena. And I want to thank everyone for coming to this session on the last day of APHA and braving the traffic during the parade. As I said, my name is Annie Fehrenbacher, and I'm going to present on religious restrictions on reproductive health services for victims of human trafficking. And this presentation will focus on an ongoing battle between the ACLU, the Catholic Church, and the Department of Health and Human Services. I have no disclosures. So to give you a little background about myself and my co-authors, I am a doctoral student at the UCLA School of Public Health, and I've been working at the Saban Free Clinic Human Trafficking Program since 2010. And Dr. Baldwin is the director of this clinic program. She's a volunteer physician who provides primary care for victims of human trafficking in Los Angeles, and she's been doing this since 2005. Our co-author, Bridget Amiri, is a senior staff attorney at the ACLU Reproductive Freedom Project, and she's also the lead attorney on the case that will be the focus of this presentation. So this presentation will focus primarily on a lawsuit filed by the ACLU against the Department of Health and Human Services and the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. Between 2005 and 2011, the federal government awarded over $15.9 million to the USCCB to provide assistance for victims of trafficking under the Trafficking Victims Protection Act of 2000. In their contract, USCCB prohibited their subcontracting organizations from using these funds to refer patients for contraceptive or abortion services in order to keep in line with their religious and moral beliefs under Catholic doctrine. In 2009, the ACLU filed a lawsuit against HHS and USCCB for violating the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment, also known as the Separation of Church and State. ACLU argued that it was unconstitutional to impose a religiously based restriction on taxpayer funds that would prohibit victims of trafficking from accessing sexual and reproductive health services. On March 23, 2012, we were delighted to see that the court favored ACLU and ruled that USCCB did not have the right to use taxpayer funds to impose this restriction, based on their beliefs that others may or may not hold. And currently, the appeal is pending in the First District. In the midst of the lawsuit, USCCB's contract expired in 2011, and the Obama administration decided not to renew the contract, stating that they would prioritize grantees that could provide comprehensive services, and these include contraceptive access and access to abortion in the case of rape or to preserve the health of the mother. Instead, the Obama administration awarded the new grants to Tapestry in Atlanta, Heartland Human Healthcare Services of Chicago, and the U.S. Committee for Refugees and Immigrants of Washington. USCCB threatened to sue, suggesting that the decision was motivated by religious discrimination against the Catholic Church because of their opposition to abortion. As a result, Chairman Daryl Issa held a committee for the United States House of Representatives Committee on Oversight and Government Reform entitled Health and Human Services and the Catholic Church, Examining the Politicization of Grants. Sorry, that's a little bit of a tough word for me to say. USCCB's testimony in the case became a central part of the hearing, in particular a section in which they disputed as a matter of principle whether abortion and contraceptive are, quote, medical services that any person needs. My co-author, Dr. Susie Baldwin, was asked to provide testimony for the hearing regarding the health needs of trafficking victims and to respond to the charge of UCSSB that contraceptives and abortion services are not an important part of post-trafficking services. So Dr. Baldwin's testimony focused on three main areas. One, that sexual violence is a common experience for trafficked women, not just those in commercial sex work, but also in other sectors. To quote a section of her testimony, she said, "In a small study I conducted among women trafficked in Los Angeles, most of whom were victims of domestic servitude, so those working as nannies and maids in individual households, 43% reported having experienced gynecologic or what they called female problems. While not all of these problems were necessarily caused by trafficking, they underscore the clear need for comprehensive sexual and reproductive health care among this population." And the other primary sections of Dr. Baldwin's testimony were that trafficked women desire a full range of sexual and reproductive health services as basic health care, and that they rely on their case managers for information about the availability of services. And over the next few slides, I'm going to pull out a few other excerpts from Dr. Baldwin's testimony and then try to provide some context for the political climate in which the case was occurring. So you'll see some popular photos you may have seen over the last year. Regarding contraceptive, Dr. Baldwin stated, many survivors of human trafficking, particularly international survivors, lack education about the menstrual cycle and reproductive physiology and have no awareness of the most effective ways to use natural or traditional family planning methods, such as the rhythm method, much less awareness of the availability of safe, modern methods of contraception. In many jurisdictions throughout the United States, the only access survivors have to comprehensive family planning services may come from funds provided by the Department of Health and Human Services for trafficking survivors' health care. In February 2012, following Obama's contraceptive mandate for the implementation of the Affordable Care Act that insurance companies provide contraception, Chairman Daryl Issa, who you may remember from the previous hearing, held a new hearing entitled Lines Crossed, Separation of Church and State. Has the Obama administration trampled on freedom of religion and freedom of conscience? And this is a pretty famous photo from the last year, which many people entitled, Where Are All the Women? You may remember that the Democratic selection to speak, law student Sandra Fluck, was prohibited from speaking on this panel, and so she spoke during a minority day of hearing for Democratic representatives. Following her statements, talk radio host Rush Limbaugh made inflammatory comments about her sex life, speculating that she was a slut and a prostitute for asking the government to pay for birth control. So if you can imagine that model citizens like Sandra Fluck, a highly educated woman, can be called things like this in the media, just imagine what trafficked women are being called, many of whom work in commercial sex work. Regarding emergency contraceptive, this is again an excerpt from Dr. Baldwin's testimony. Survivors of trafficking newly escaped or rescued from their situation, whether labor or sex trafficking situations, should be offered emergency contraception in order to reduce their risk of unintended pregnancy. As with survivors of rape who present to a hospital emergency room, offering emergency contraception should be a routine step in the initial care of survivors of human trafficking. You may also remember over the last year we've had many politicians trying to redefine what legitimate rape is, and this again is highly disputed as to whether, for example, sex workers can be raped. Is this even possible? So you may remember the quote from Representative Todd Akin, who said, from what I understand from doctors, pregnancy from rape is really rare. If it's a legitimate rape, the female body has ways to try to shut the whole thing down. Regarding abortion, Dr. Baldwin quoted a study by Kathy Zimmerman at the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine, which is a team that has conducted some of the largest studies on women in post-trafficking settings, and discussing women's preferences for termination of pregnancy when they experienced unintended pregnancy in their trafficking situation. So the preference for termination of unintended pregnancy was reiterated by respondents who had never been pregnant, the majority of whom stated that they would have sought an abortion had they become pregnant in the destination country. Ignorance of abortion services, anti-abortion laws, and lack of free or affordable termination of pregnancy referrals and services increase the likelihood that women will turn to illegal practitioners. And in Zimmerman's study, 5 out of 6 women who experienced unintended pregnancy decided to terminate the pregnancy. And we've also heard a number of recent comments about whether rape is just another method of conception, as Paul Ryan purported, or as Richard Murdoch said, something that God intended to happen. And as is clearly evidenced and should be obvious to most people, women who are trafficked that experience unintended pregnancy do not just regard it as another method of conception. So the case highlights a number of tensions in American ideals. On the one hand, the ideal that we should have freedom of religion and freedom of conscience to not be forced to do things that are against our moral or religious beliefs. On the other hand, we believe in the separation of church and state, so there needs to be separation between the use of federal funds for services that would impose a religious belief on those receiving the services. And then finally, the ideal of reproductive rights and freedoms. And this case really gets at what role faith-based organizations should play in delivering health and social services for victims of trafficking. So the implications of the case get at several key questions. One, do religious organizations have the right to impose religious or moral restrictions on the disbursement of taxpayer funds? And this was already decided no. We'll see what happens in the appeal. We're waiting on the decision anxiously. Briefs were just filed last week. Do we have an obligation to provide accurate information about the availability of services? So this has been disputed quite a bit in cases on freedom of conscience. You may remember a few years ago, cases on whether pharmacists or physicians are required to let women know about the availability of emergency contraception, and in some cases, they were required to say that it's available, but not to provide it, and in many cases, not to provide a referral. So this is still disputed. Should grant applicants be judged on the breadth of services provided? Certainly we think yes. We will see if this is consistent with future grants under the TVPA. And should contraceptive and abortion services be considered needs of trafficking victims? And this, we think, is a resounding yes. So how does the decision affect trafficking survivors? Trafficking victims are denied their autonomy when they're forced to perform hard labor or provide services against their will and under the threat of harm to themselves or to their families. They suffer greatly as a result of having their choices in life taken away. For those who are lucky enough to leave their situation and access assistance, it is our responsibility to provide them the comprehensive services that they need to begin the process of transitioning from being a victim to a survivor. As 2012 draws to a close, the Trafficking Victims Protection Act has yet to be reauthorized, and actually was supposed to be reauthorized before the end of 2011, but we're still waiting on a decision from Congress. We hope that Congress will prioritize the reauthorization of this bill. We need the TVPA to ensure that justice is pursued and that trafficking survivors are prevented from experiencing the plight that many of our patients have faced at the human trafficking program, the clinic. Given the types of abuse human trafficking victims face, often for years at a time, these services must include access to the full range of reproductive and sexual health care and information about the availability of these services. Thank you.